Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's a powerful song, that. Simple words. Reign in me. And as we were singing it, that thought came to mind. And the thought was this, that without Christ, I'm nothing. With Christ in me, I'm a somebody. Hallelujah. You know, without Christ, I'm a nobody. Hallelujah. With Christ, we're somebody special. Chosen people. Hallelujah. Without Christ, we're lonely. Without Christ, we're without hope. With Christ, all things are possible. We're chosen. We're precious. And no matter what you are going through in your life, He's with you right there. And you know, whatever the burden you carry, whatever the problem that seeks to try and drag you down, because that's what burdens do, it's about casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for who? Me. He cares for you. Hallelujah. You're not forgotten. In all the busyness of what might appear to be happening on the earth and in the earth and in heaven, God does not forget about His children. Hallelujah. How He does it, I've no idea, but He does. He says that He hears the slightest, smallest cry. And He's there for us. Praise His wonderful name. Isn't that wonderful? You know, chosen people. The world gave up on you. God gave everything to make you something. Praise His wonderful name. When everybody said you were a nobody, God said, I know somebody. I know those people. I've called them into my banqueting house. And I've put a banner over you that says love. Love. Love, love, love. Hallelujah. Wonderful. You're loved. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you can rest in His promises and rest in those blessings that we are loved by God. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And just drawn into His presence. And God wants you to be flowing and growing, step by step, day by day. Hallelujah. And this is why we allow our family time to just share some thoughts. What did God say to you? What does the Word say to you? God speaks through His Word. Powerful. God shares intimate thoughts with you. Praise His wonderful name. So special. So precious. I know we've some missing tonight, but God is here. The Holy Spirit is here. The Lord, it says in the Word, where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. Hallelujah. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. The presence of Almighty God is here. Hallelujah. And you know, we come to gather into His presence. We're gathering together unto Him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. Praise God. So, this Wednesday evening, the 1st of June, we've pushed it on a week because of things that were happening. This Wednesday evening we're looking together, or you should have been looking on your own, to then share with us together just a little bit of something that maybe the Lord has revealed to you out of Psalm 18. And there's lots in it. Oh, 50 verses, we could be here all night. Glory to God, and into tomorrow. We could go into the 2nd of June, couldn't we? Hallelujah, I'm sure. So, who's going to go first? Who's going to jump at this microphone first? Up comes David. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus.
I was reading it today, and I very rarely use this Bible. My daughter bought it me in 1987, so I've had it a little while. But it's the Amplified version. And I was looking at it this afternoon, and it said, the first verse really gripped me. It says, I love you fervently and devoutly, O Lord, my strength. We've been singing that last chorus we sang, reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me, captivate my heart. Well, Jesus did that in 1946, but he hasn't always reigned in me. I've sometimes sat on the throne myself and thought, I can make it. Found out that if I sit him on the throne, I will make it. If I sit on the throne, I don't make it. But it came to me so vividly. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my keen and firm strength, in whom I will trust and take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Hallelujah. My high tower, the place of absolute safety. When you were attacked in the olden days, they always had a tower or a keep within the castle where you could go and be safe. And God's got a keep. Hallelujah. His high tower belongs to me and belongs to you. And you can go there and find refuge. And as I was reading it today, I went down to verse 7 or 16. Looked at the he's in 16, 17, and it says that he reached from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated and abhorred me, for they were too strong for me. Verse 19, he brought me forth into a large place. He has delivered me because he has pleased, because he was pleased with me and delighted in me. David wrote this psalm, and he was king of Israel, but he wasn't always on the throne. His son once tried to take it, usurped his throne, and he had to flee for his life, because if he hadn't done, his son would have killed him so that he could take over the throne. And the enemy, I believe, sometimes wants to so captivate us in what's going on around us that he wants to dethrone Jesus. And he'll put anybody on the throne, anything on the throne, but Jesus. But when Jesus is on the throne, he reigns supreme, and we know his power and his authority. And in Hebrews chapter 2, we trust him to do those things which we require, we need. And it says in verse 13, and again he says, my trust and assurance, reliance and confidence, hope shall be fixed in him. It's fixed in Jesus. All that we stand in need of. We've said it many, many times. Let me say to you again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I believe tonight the Lord wants to say to you, I've got you covered. Let me sit on the throne. Every time I sing that song, I've sung it a few times over the last few weeks, privately, and we have sung it here, publicly as well. I've always been challenged with the fact it's Jesus sitting on the throne. We say, reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me. Captivate my heart. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. That's what we want. The enemy would try to blind us to some of these things, but let's put Jesus on the throne. Let him sit there. Let him reign there. Keep him there. And all the things that we need will be met by him. Amen.
Praise God. You know, we're a peculiar people, aren't we? Eh? Peculiar in the sense that we're special. Nobody like us because we're sons of God. Joint heirs with Christ. How wonderful is that? When I was a child, my parents, as you would expect, took me on holiday to Wales. And they took me to the Llyn in North Wales. Can you say Llyn? Llyn. To a beach called Aberdaron. And in Aberdaron, in the middle of the beach, there's a rock. I must have been about 5 or 6. And I would play on this rock, and the sea would come in, and I'd jump in the sea, and then the sea would go out, and the sand would be around the base of the rock. It stood about, I don't know, 2.5 meters high, and big enough to climb on, big enough for a kiddie to jump off, which I did, into the sea, and then onto the sand, and then when the tide came back in, into the sea again. It was great fun. And then years later, I spent many, many happy holidays with the children on Aberdaron Beach. And what did they do? They climbed on the rock, jumped in the sea, kicked the sand, jumped in the sea again. Fantastic. This rock is a black rock. And it stands out. You can see it from one end of the beach to the other. It just stands there. And sometimes the sand comes up and covers it a bit, and then the sea will come in and wash the sand away, and the rock is still there, doesn't move. And now, not going to tell you how many years later, but just a few years later, my grandchildren play on the same beach. Well, actually, they're a bit big now to be playing on the beach, but they, over the years, stood on that same rock, jumped in the sea, not worried whether the sand was high against the rock or low against the rock, it was still there, that black rock, and they'd stand on it and jump in the sea and splash and have great fun. And what does that rock do? It stands firm. It doesn't move. It stands firm, and that's what we have to do. We have to stand firm. Doesn't matter whether the storms of the ocean are washing about us. It doesn't matter whether the sand is trying to bury us. It doesn't matter. The rock is still there and it's standing firm, and we have to stand firm too on that rock. Reminds me, we're in the cleft of his hand. And that reminds me of the cleft of a rock. I was looking at this, and the words rock, occurs about 150 times in Scripture. So it must be an important issue. It must be some messages with regard to as the rock or a rock. And this psalm tells us in verse 2, straight away, the Lord is my rock. Doesn't move. Whatever the ocean does, whatever the sands do, whatever the world does, that rock is there, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that rock is never going to move. Thank God. How wonderful is that? And then in verse 31, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? No other rock. He is there, our rock. Never going to move. Solid, firm foundation. Just what we need. When things around us are changing, when things take us by surprise, when things change, He doesn't change. That rock is there. And we have to carry on. That's right. Whether the storms are raging or whether all seems calm, it doesn't matter. We have to stand firm on that rock. And then in verse 46, the third time it mentions a rock. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. You know, we say we want somebody to stand by us. We want somebody to be our rock. And how wonderful it is that we've got Jesus. He is our rock. And we can stand by Him because we know that He is going to stand by us. Never let us down. Never fail us. Always there. Whatever happens, nothing will change with Him. Do you remember the story of the guys that built their house? Some on the sand, some on the rock. And this rock that I used to play on as a child in Aberdaron, the sand would move around the rock, and sometimes it would be this high, and sometimes it would be lower. And the foolish man built his house on the sand. And what happened to that? The storms came and washed the house away. But the man, the guy that built his house on the rock, it stood firm. So what I wanted to share today was that whatever happens to us in life, whatever storms, whatever difficulties, whatever is happening around about us, you know, and it's a very wicked world, lots of things happening in the world, stand firm. Stand firm. The rock isn't going to move. The waves are not going to wash it away. The sand is not going to cover it. Because we are a peculiar people. We are special. And the Lord is going to care for us. So the Lord is my rock. Stay firm. Stand firm on that rock. Whatever happens. Amen.
Well, I noticed this was about David because it's same as what's in a lot of it in Psalm 2 Samuel 2:22. I mean, a lot of this from Psalm 18. But what I noticed was, I know David, he trusted in the Lord because when he was looking after the sheep, of course, as it said, he was facing a lion and a bear. But when David was anointed king, he didn't think he thought he would be hounded by Saul, was jealous of him. Yeah, as soon as he was anointed by Samuel, he went straight back to looking after the sheep. So he didn't really, you know, would it change his life at all straight away, but he knew God would prepare him to rule and reign. He had such a good attitude all the time concerning Saul. He never once thought of killing him. He said he'd die in battle or some other way, but we stopped his men from killing him, but God was all the time training me for reigning. And he was the one, apart from Jesus, that's spoken of most in the Bible, I noticed. He was a man after God's own heart, as it said. But he didn't seek or get haughty or proud. He just knew that he looked to God, because it was God that kept him and brought him through. And of course, he'd got a purpose, same as we've got a purpose, and God will bring us through. Even though we come against things, we've still got a destiny that we're going to fulfill, and I want to fulfill mine. And he knew he needed to look after, God loved to look after him, and so long as he got a relationship right with God, he flourished and thrived. As David said, his son was taking over the throne, he had to flee from him, and then one of his other sons, he set himself up to be king, and he was had to be put down, but he still had a good attitude all the time. Whatever happened, he never seemed to change. He seemed to be the same, stable all the time, didn't he? He did not up and down, but just stay straight. And what I love reading about David. Really blesses me, he really does. Because he's a good adversary to keep to trusting in the Lord, because that's what brought him through. And he came to win victory.
I absolutely love this psalm, and for years it's been one of my weapons of war, and it's a fantastic psalm to set the devil on the run, and it builds you up as well as defeats the enemy. Dual purpose, it's a double-edged sword. Amen. He tells you how much God is for you, and he tells you that the devil's a liar. Amen. I'm looking at it today in the message, and I also looked earlier in the Orthodox Bible, and the Orthodox Bible tells me that actually, although that David is talking about God delivering him from his enemies and from Saul, it's actually prophetic of Jesus. And I thought, yes, it's all about the greater David. I'd just like to read verses 16 to 19. In fact, prior to that, he's talking about how the world is hostile, but how my cry brings me right into his presence, and he takes action on my behalf. In fact, I think I'd be better looking at that first, because he says he's the bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live. He's my rescue in night. And it says, my God, the high crag, where I run for dear life, hiding behind the boulders, safe in the granite hideout. I sing to God the praise and lofty, and I find myself safe and saved. It's lovely when you get worshipping God. The whole picture changes, doesn't it? And your spirit rises up and you see things so differently. Praise is another wonderful weapon of war, and we need to do that. You know, don't get in the mully grubs. Just get into your worship and just thank God. And you'll begin to find that your spirit will rise. He said, the hangman's noose was tight at my throat. Devil waters rushed over me. Hell's rope clinched me tight. Death traps barred every exit. A hostile world. I cry to God to help me. And from his palace, he hears my call. My cry brings him right. Brings me right into his presence, a private audience with God. And then he deals with the enemy. The earth wobbles and lurches. The mountains shake like leaves because of his rage. His nostrils flare, bellowing smoke. His mouth spits fire. Tongues of fire dart in and out. He lowers the sky. He steps down. Under his feet an abyss opens up. He's riding a winged creature, swift on wind wings. Now he's wrapped himself in a trench coat of black cloud darkness. But his black cloud darkness, but through his darkness bursts hailstones and fireballs. Then God thundered out of heaven. The high God gave a great shout. God shoots his arrow with pandemonium. He hurls lightnings around. The secret sources of ocean are exposed. The hidden depths of earth lie uncovered. The moment you roar in protest, let loose your hurricane anger. All this action from God and the earth cracking and just breaking up at the sound of his voice. And then it says, but me he caught. This is lovely. When everything's cracking up around you and it seems like the world's falling to pieces, he captures you because you're his precious one. And he said, he reached all the way from sky to sea and he pulled me out of the ocean of hate. That enemy chaos, that void in which I was drowning. They hit me when I was down, but God stuck by me. He stood me up in a wild open field, in a wide open field. I stood there saved, surprised to be loved. And the verse 20 says, God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him. God wants every broken piece of your life. He wants every piece of your life. And he will put your life into completeness. When I got my act together, he gave me a fresh start. Now I'm alert to God's ways. I don't take God for granted. Every day I think about the way he works. And I try not to miss anything. I feel put back together. And now I'm watching my step. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. And I can say that. God rewrote the book of my life when I gave my life to him. Everything changed. I started a complete new life. The old was gone, the new came, and I was a new creation in Christ. And I really think if you dig deep into this psalm, you can see this is about Jesus going to the cross and the power of what he did, how he ripped the devil's kingdom to bits, and he rescued me. He made a way for me where there was no way for me. He made me a new creation. He gave me a new plan, a new life, a new purpose, a new destiny. And he made me complete in him. And that's what God wants to do. He says, suddenly, God, you floodlight my life. I'm blazing with glory, God's glory. I smash the bands of marauders. I vault the highest fences. What a God. His road stretches straight and smooth. Every God direction is road tested. Everyone who runs to him succeeds. Amen. Is there any God like my God? No, there's no God like my God. He rescued me, not just from a situation, but from death and hell. He broke the power of death and hell. He broke the devil's power. He gave me a new life. He reached down and rescued me and lifted me out of those murky waters that I was drowning in. And he keeps me and he holds me and he's with me all the way through my journey. And never, never, never will he let go of me. And I'm never going to let go of him. Amen.
verse 35 and 36. Lord, you are my shield and my salvation. Lord, you showed me how to pray. Your love enlarged my faith. You held me in your arms, and now you are my life. Now, Lord, you have led me in your path. Amen.
Amen. Just want to read verse 19. Going to share from verse 16 to verse 19, but a lot of that has already been done by grace, so I'm going to highlight one or two things from verse 19. It says, he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. See, I believe that word spacious, it applies to each and every one of us. See, when we were in our distress, when we were in that place of brokenness, we were cramped and pressed from every side, you know, and had the Lord not intervened, we would not be standing here this evening. As Pastor Andrew said, had it not been for the Lord, there'd be no hope. Had it not been for the Lord, we wouldn't be worshipping here tonight. And it is because Jesus intervened. Because it says that in verse 16, he reached down. In other words, God intervened. God intervened. You see, God had to intervene and pulled David out of this place, and he placed him into a spacious place. And that's exactly what the Lord's done for each and every one of us. He pulled us out from that place of despair, from that place of brokenness, from that place of desperation, and he's now placed us in spacious place. And spacious place, what does that look like? I want to bring out three things. Firstly, spacious place is a place of freedom. Amen? Spacious place is a place of freedom. Once we went free. You see, freedom isn't a state of what we see on the outside. Freedom is what happens on the inside. See, our minds were bombarded with so much negativity, so much guilt, and so much shame of the past. But God cleansed us, amen, by the renewing of his word. You see, and because of that now, because it's placed us in that place of spaciousness, you see, now we are free. And if Christ has set you free, you are free. Because if the Son sets you free, you are free. Amen. Free indeed. So, spacious place is a place of freedom. Secondly, spacious place is a place of growth. Spacious place is a place of growth. You see, because of things that might happen to you, you know, maybe you didn't see what God had placed in your life. You know, and when God pulled you out from your past and when God brought you into the spacious place, you see, God wants you to grow. God wants us to grow. And church, I want to encourage each and every one of us, let's grow. Let's grow. See, don't let the things of the past stop you from growing. Don't let the voices of the outside stop you from growing. You see, David did not let the circumstances stop him growing in God. What happened instead? You see, he used the circumstances to help him grow. You see, and God wants us to grow, each and every one of us. Firstly, God wants us to live in freedom. Secondly, God wants us to grow. And thirdly, when you're in spacious place, your perspective to life changes. Your perspective to life changes. See, all the circumstances that took place in David's life, he could have grabbed all of them and he could have turned really bitter towards God. Because all he did was love God. All he did was serve God. You see, but what he did instead was, you see, with this scripture in Genesis, what the enemy intended for evil, God turned it into good. And that's exactly what happened in this incident as well. What the enemy intended for evil, God turned it into good. And you see, all the circumstances, all the situations made him stronger and stronger. And now what I want to encourage us, you see, all the events that might have knocked on your doorway, you know, and wanting to discourage you and wanting to pull you down. You see, the fact that you are here tonight tells me that you are walking in victory. You are walking in victory. And you see, what I mean by perspective, changing perspective is, you see, once you would limit yourself, but now because of Jesus, there is no limit. There is no limit. Live big, church. Amen. Live big. Come on, say it with me. I'm going to live big. Live big. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself. Don't just say, oh, I'm just a church attender. No. What Andrew said earlier on, you are somebody. Matter of fact, even Steve said, you are very peculiar. Amen. Very posh word. But that is true. It's all because of Jesus. And because you are now in spacious place. Come on, church. You are no longer bound. Amen. You are no longer bound. You are now living in spacious place, growing in spacious place, and now live accordingly. Live big. Live big, amen. Say it with me. I'm not going to settle for less. Settle for the best, church. Come on. God has the best for you. God has the best for you. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Keep pressing on. Keep growing. Continue on the journey. You see, all these things will come, but don't let that push you down. Rather, hold them and say to yourself, do you know what? I'm going to grab all these events to help me grow in the things of God. Because nothing is going to stop me growing in God and pursuing the things that God has for me. Amen? And believe that, church. Believe that. He brought you out into a spacious place. He rescued you because he delighted in you. Amen. Amen. Has anybody else got anything? If not, I'm going to pass over to Pastor Andrew now. Praise God. Come on, church. Let's welcome Pastor Andrew. I'm going to pass over to Pastor Andrew now.
When Grace started, I went, she just took my verses. I looked at Daniel and he says, she just took my verses. Hallelujah. God's trying to tell us something. You know, but as we look at this psalm, you look at the first verses 1 through to 6, shall we say, and really, David starts off with, I love thee, O Lord. You know, God is my strength. And he starts off with, I love you, God. Hallelujah. And he continues, the Lord is my rock. We've heard about the rock. It's still there after all those years. It's not moving. Hallelujah. God's love. He's not changing. Praise his wonderful name. And you know, it says we can take refuge on that rock. When the tide's rushing in, when things are rushing against us, we can climb on the rock. We can climb on God's knee. Climb into the throne of God and be hidden in God. We take refuge. We know it's safe. We know it's secure. And so we take refuge in God. And, you know, he becomes our shield. He becomes our protector. He becomes our stronghold. You know, when it talks about the Lord building a strong tower around us. I remember as a child there used to be a TV advert. Never forgotten this. And it was an insurance advert. Yeah, that's the one. And it's talking about the, you know, having this insurance, and it builds this strong tower, keep around you. And the guy, you know, it's all a cartoon thing, isn't it? You know, scribbled cartoon. And he taps on the side and says, you know, and he taps and so says, strong stuff, this insurance, you know. And it's, yeah, that strength of the insurance company around me. But we've got the strength of God around us. Hallelujah, you know. And David's rejoicing in this, you see. And he's rejoicing in this, even when in verse 4 he says, the cords of death have got a hold of me. They've surrounded me. They're about to kill me. That's what it feels like to him. But he's still praising God. He's still worshipping God. And he says, everything is coming against me. There's a torrent coming against me of ungodliness. And he's terrified by it. And he says, in my Bible, it says, the cords of hell surround me. Oh, you know. Such a wicked darkness seeking to draw and to destroy. He says, the snares of death even confront me, seek to snap at me and take me away. And verse 6, and this is what we need to do. He says, in my distress, hallelujah, I panicked. Is that what he says? No, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help came before him into his ears. Hallelujah. And then, if you then look at the next few verses from verse 7 right through to verse 20. In verse 7, the first thing that happens is God moves. I know it don't say that, but the fact that the earth shook and quaked is because God moved. You know, what are they doing to my child? God moved. And the earth shook, and the foundations of the mountains trembled and were shaken, because he, God, was angry. See what I mean? God moved. And then it goes on, and literally every verse, verse 8, his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Verse 10. He rode upon the cherubims. He sped upon the wings of the wind. Verse 11. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Verse 12. From the very brightness before him. See, it's all about God. So every verse, it's got God in it. God is moving. God is doing something. And you don't know what he's doing. But he's doing it. And this is, we've got to realize this. That, you know, David's having a tough time. You know, we know that. And God knows it. But God has appointed David for a plan, a purpose, and God has appointed each and every one of you for a place and a purpose and a time with a gifting and ministry to be used for his praise and for his glory. And when God sees your distress, and when you call out of your distress Because that's what you've got to learn to do. Don't sit there in the distress and say, what am I going to do? I don't know. I can't put up with this anymore. I'm going to commit suicide. I'm going to jack it all in. It's not really worth it, is it? Is it? Stop looking inward. Stop looking inward. Say, you know, David had to do that. David did that sometimes. But he looked in one day and he said, oh, Saul, why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. He spoke to himself. And we need to speak to ourselves and speak to God. And as we speak to God, it says there, he says, and then verse 7, then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains trembled and were shaken, because he, God, was angry about your circumstance, your situation, and he's about to do something about it. Hallelujah. Come on, you know, you've got to start believing that God wants to do something for you and in you and with you. Hallelujah. And the devil wants to stop you. And he'll put every barbed wire and throw every bomb and every stupid thing at you to deter, to slow you down in some way, to stop you, to hinder you, to cause you to stumble and to fall, to cause you to make mistakes, to cause you to come to a place of unbelief, doubt, fear. But God gets angry at those things. The moment that you begin to call upon the Lord, the moment that you begin to worship. You see, David began with, I love thee, Lord. It's worship. He was besotted by God because he knew God had the answer to every situation that David was going to be in, to every circumstance that David would go through. I said go through. You see, just because David was the chosen one, it did not mean that he was the one who nothing was ever going to go wrong for him. You see, our problem is that we think God's chosen me, so I'm fine. You know, nope. I'm going to be okay. Nothing's going to go wrong. Well, I don't know who you've been listening to, but you've been listening to the wrong preacher, because I'll tell you what, when you come to Jesus, there's a target painted on you, and the devil's going to shoot at it as often as he can. But let the Lord build a strong tower. Let the Word of God become the strong tower that is around you. And even if you are feeling that you have been besieged by the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when the enemy besieged God's people and God's people cried out to God, God brought deliverance. God set captives free. God moved in a mighty way. And all the time, it's God. It's not you. It's not me. It's God. It's God. Hallelujah. You know, verse 13, the Lord also thunders in the heavens, and the Most High utters His voice. All those verses down there, it's all about God. It's not actually about you. It's what your circumstances started him, and he got annoyed. You know, he had a bit of a dicky fit on this one. It's like, I'm gonna sort this one out. And God got extremely, violently angry. But it made the earth shake. And God began to move and change things. And we've got to realize that, hey, get on with worshipping, get on with praising, get on with what God told you to do. And as you do that, and when things come against you, when certain things crash in against you, when the devil seeks to break you in some shape or form, God gets angry. Ooh, he'll shake a few things. And it's all about God. God does this, not you. He came to set the captives free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal the sick. He came to bring salvation. We're just receivers. Learn to be a good receiver of the things of God. And then let it run out into the lives of others. As you've received Christ in you, and you've received God in you, and you've received the Holy Spirit in you, let it run through you. Let it run through you. Don't let the devil seek to barricade you in some shape or form, because I'll tell you what, God's going to break you out. See, the enemy might seek to just trap you to and get you into a situation where you feel you can't move, but let me tell you this, God will break you out. Read this psalm. And God will start to break you out. God will start to bring a power against the enemy. It's God that does it. And then you'll just walk out. Reminds me of that story when they were encamped around them. And, you know, the prophet said, Tomorrow morning, it's all over. Tomorrow morning, you'll be feasting. Tomorrow morning, you'll be drinking wine. Tomorrow morning, everything will be fine. And it's like, oh, somebody said, well, basically, more or less, over my dead body, that's going to happen. And the prophet said to him, yeah, sure. You won't see it. It will be over your dead body. I'm paraphrasing it. And that next morning, when those two lepers came and said, hey, guess what? They've all gone. There ain't a soldier left in the camp. There's all the food, look at it. And there's all these jewels and clothes, look what we've got. And in the end, the people went out and went feasting and rejoicing and dancing and praising God. God routed them. You see, God, He did it. He did it. See, so often we think we've got to do it. You know, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. No, you have to worship. You have to continue. You know, the chorus we've sung years ago. It's an old one, and you know, it might seem soppy today, but it's, I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. And that's where we should be. That as we fall in love with Him and we stay in love with Him, nobody can take us out of His breast. Nobody can pull us away from Him. Because it's that love that will not let me go. That's right. We rest our souls. It can be heavy. We can be troubled. But we rest upon Him. And in that rest, peace comes. And He works on our behalf. He's the one who sets the captives free. He's the one who breaks. He says in verse 14, and He sent out His arrows and scattered them. Whatever's in the way. You know, I told you that story once when I was being harassed in some way, and there was something troubling me, and I kept saying, you know, I was trying to fight the devil in my probably in my own strength, and I saw myself praying, and I was praying and praying, and I saw this picture of myself, and I saw the devil in front of me, and he was just giving me a bad time. He was standing there, and I was getting nowhere. And he was just like clowning around with me and fooling around. It's like, get him out of my face, you know. And all of a sudden I heard this voice from behind me shout, kneel! And I dropped to my knees, and all of a sudden I saw this big hand just fly across in front of me. And this devil went rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And I turned around. This is what I saw. I saw myself turn around and say, God, why didn't you do that earlier? And he said to me, because you were in the way. You were trying to do it in your own strength. And you were getting in the way. And I went, oh. You see, he thinks more about you than he does about the stupid devil. He's more concerned about you. This is why we have to become tuned. So that then he can shoot his arrows. Not you with your little bow and arrow, and I'm going to get the devil. What are you going to get him with? It's greater is he that is in us than him that's in the world. And so, you know, we submit to God and we allow God to move. And so it says in that verse 13, and also he thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstone and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightnings, flashes and abundance, and he routed them. Then the channels of water appeared. Water symbolic of refreshing. Hallelujah. God's refreshing. God's flowing. God's cleansing. And the foundations of the world were laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord. You see, as soon as the Lord speaks, he opens things up. He opens things up and he moves things. He says, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. God's only got a sneeze and the devil's in trouble. God's only got a sneeze and the devil's in trouble. You know, oh boy. And there's the devil. Oh boy. Watch out. God's coming for us. Verse 16, it says, and he sent from on high. He took. He drew. He delivered. Let God do the work. Enjoy. Enjoy the ride with God. Enjoy the journey. Let the peace of God begin to rest in you, trusting him, believing him, rejoicing him. And tell the enemy, God's going to deal with you. I'm free. I'm set free. I'm delivered. I'm rejoicing in my promises. You know, the New Testament tells us, in everything, not some things. Not when you feel it's okay. Not when you're happy. But in everything, give thanks. For that is the will of God for you. What? That you give thanks. That you learn to give thanks no matter what is going on around you. There might be trouble, there might be strife, there might be difficulties, there might be challenges and problems. And God is saying, all I need you to do is give thanks. Because the moment that you give thanks, you begin to empower God. God begins to move because God sees that you are no longer concerned about that, but you have handed it over to the throne room of God, and the throne room of God and everything that is under the power and authority of the throne room of God becomes available to your circumstance and your situation, and God breathes and moves. In everything give thanks, because this is God's will, that you give thanks. giving thanks, but I don't feel like it. Didn't ask you how you felt. It's not about how you feel. We all got up today, the sun was shining. Whoa, felt great, didn't we? If it was chipping it down with rain, the first thing you do is draw back the curtains, you look out and say, oh, it's raining. And you're down a notch or two, aren't you? Sun shining. Oh, great, sun shining, yeah. And you're happier. Whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, whether it's freezing, whether the sun's shining, God is still on the throne. And the devil is defeated. No matter what. And we need to stand on those promises. And if you're feeling downcast, you read Psalm 18. You know, particularly through to verse 20 in particular, but then it just goes on. But He's God. It's God that's moving on your behalf. There's a verse of Scripture that says, stand and see the salvation of our God. Ephesians, and having done everything, what have we been doing in it? Having done everything. Do you know what I think that really means, having done everything? Having done everything in praising God and rejoicing in God, stand. What are you going to do next? I'm going to stand and see the salvation of God. It is God who delivers. It is God who heals. It's God who sets free. It is God who saved us. It's God who has an appointed place and time for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. And we have to stand. Yeah, but it's not fast enough, Andrew. Well, God is in eternity. God does not run on one of these things. Hallelujah. There's no time in God. You see, there's no beginning. And there ain't no end. He just keeps on going and going and going and going and going. Our problem is that we think, oh, well, you know. Well, I know the psalm, in one of the psalms, it says 70 years. You pass that. Hallelujah. And it, you know, well, God promised 120 after the flood. So you're all right. A few more yet. Glory to God. Haven't you? Hallelujah. You know, still, you start climbing mountains now. Amen. And so you've got to read yourself. Stop being a creature of time. We had that song, I Have a Destiny. I know I shall fulfill. But if we lose focus, if we focus on ourselves and the circumstance and situations that the enemy tries to bring against us, we waste our energy, we waste our time, we lose our focus. And God's like, come on. Use the authority of heaven. Are we allowed to do that? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Whose will? God's will. This is the Lord Jesus teaching us how to pray. Father, hallowed be. Worshipped, holy, mighty is thy name upon all eternity. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, let your kingdom come first in me and then on the earth. in its fullness. Let the glory of God come. Stand on the promises. And you know, let God give the devil such a whipping and a beating and a kicking. Hallelujah. That he'll not come back too often. It's like, oh, last time I got involved with that David, when I thought I'd got him, and then he starts praising God, and then suddenly heaven shakes. God sends down a couple of burly angels to beat the crap out of me. Not me, the devil, basically, you know. And the devil, his demons go off limping, bruised and scarred. And we walk in the promises. We walk in the blessings. We walk in the peace of God. That's what God's got for us. And that's what this psalm has done today, you know. We might be surrounded. But like I said to you the other week, you know, when Elisha was surrounded, praise God. You see, the problem was, when people read that and preach on that one with regard to Elijah, they said he was surrounded, and everybody looks with a natural eye and sees that he was surrounded by this physical army. But actually, before the physical army ever got to him, he was already surrounded. He was surrounded before the army arrived. He was surrounded by a spiritual host. Hallelujah. And that is how we live. We live surrounded by a spiritual host. And so if we live with that spiritual host surrounding us, when the devil comes against us, if we lose our vision, if we stop seeing in the realm of the spirit and we look into the realm of the flesh, and then we see the army of the enemy, we give them power. Lord, open his eyes. Open his spiritual eyes. Open our spiritual eyes to see God moving in power, in might, and in strength, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the words that David wrote to remind us of who you are and how you do things and how you work and how effective you are and how the devil fears and trembles before the Almighty God. Hallelujah. And Lord, we just thank you. Lord, continue to remind us and continue to help us to stand upon your word. And as we stand upon your word, Lord, we shall see the enemy trembling beneath our very feet, Lord. Lord, from the very places where our feet tread, the enemy will begin to tremble and run for its life, run in fear from us. We declare this in Jesus' name. Lord, fulfill every promise in each of our lives, for your praise and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless every one of you. Hallelujah.